Welcome to the Fantasy Flow Podcast, episode one. We're here to talk about the NFL draft.
Yes, we are.
We're recording 10 days before day one, I believe. 8 days, 9 days, something like that.
8 days, 1 week and 1 day.
1 week and 1 day. Jeez, so fast.
So fast.
It's so fast and so long at the same time because the NFL tries to like freaking stretch it out all month, make sure no one's talking about any other sports.
Yep. And then we get all this content, all this information, and then boom, we have to wait till preseason until anything else really happens.
Yeah. It is kind of funny how like the real dead zone is after the draft.
Yep.
Well, I'm excited for the draft. What are your thoughts on this rookie class as it pertains to fantasy football?
Yeah, that's I really, my first initial thought on this draft is how are NFL teams going to evaluate the quarterback position? This, especially after last year when we had 66 different starting quarterbacks. If I was an NFL owner, if I was an NFL GM, I would take a hard look at that and say, if I don't have a starter, I need a starter. And if I don't have a solid QB2, I need a solid QB2. So from a fantasy perspective, I'm going to be watching where these rookie quarterbacks are going to be drafted and what spot they're going to be in. I'm banking on a lot of NFL teams saying we don't have a solid QB2, so let's go get one. And that's going to be our, you know, whether that's in the second, fourth, later rounds, let's go get a flyer QB that can potentially just be our backup.
Yeah. We know how reactionary the NFL can be. And last year, a ton of starting quarterbacks, star quarterbacks went down. And if you didn't have a viable backup, even for 4 weeks, it was like your season's tanked. Fortunately, this year is kind of loaded at quarterback. I mean, it's heavy at the top, but there's also a lot of depth at the quarterback position this year, too. I mean, we got guys that people aren't even talking about that can spin it. It's like Spencer Rattler, Tua's little bro can spin it. There's a guy out of Tulane that no one's talking about who has just crazy numbers, Michael Pratt. Yeah, I can definitely see those guys, unlike years before where quarterbacks kind of, you know, get hyped up by the media and then fall. I could see this year maybe some of that hype actually comes to fruition and those guys maybe move up a little bit relative to expectations. I think other areas that this draft is deep at, it's not deep everywhere. Everyone talks about this being a deep draft class. It's only really deep at quarterback, wide receiver for sure, and offensive line. We're probably not going to see a round one running back. We're probably not going to see a round one safety. I don't know. I don't even know about linebacker. Just certain positions aren't being valued, and the guys there are just far and few between. Talking about only one defensive player in the top 15, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, it's gonna be super interesting. I think my big fantasy football takeaway is around the wide receivers, and I'm kind of comparing this wide receiver draft class to this year's free agency running back class, in that it's just so stacked. And you might be over here with your dynasty team or with guys that you're kind of targeting for redraft. You might have an idea of who you liked last year and who you kind of want to have on your team this year. And it's like nobody's safe. Like if you haven't established yourself as the number one guy, you know, we're talking about receivers. This is a receiver heavy draft. If you haven't established yourself as the team's number one guy, you are in danger of being moved down the depth chart because of how many just dogs are in this draft. And it's not just round one, right? Like people might just be celebrating, oh, I have Christian Kirk and the Jags didn't take a wide receiver in round one. It's like, yeah, but he still has to escape rounds two and round three. And guess what? Like, he won't. There are so many wide receivers, so many teams that need wide receivers, and there's just so many dogs in this draft. It's kind of like the free agency running back class where guys they had running backs that they thought were solid, and then suddenly that NFL team signed that free agent running back, and you're just like, oh, like you didn't have, you no longer have what you had yesterday with that player. Now,
Right.
suddenly it's all up in the air. I'm worried about some of these wide receivers. I know on one of my teams I have Christian Kirk, Curtis Samuel, and Hollywood Brown on the same roster. And right now, all three of those guys are on top of their depth charts, but they won't be in 8, 9, 10 days. Yeah, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be a bloodbath. And if you have lots of rookie picks, you're gonna be stoked. And if
Right.
you have lots of veterans,
Good
I
luck.
don't know.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah. We're exactly.
What, yeah. What are the, I mean, what are the, not every team has what Houston has right now with three stud wide receivers. So, I mean, what are the Chargers going to do?
Yep.
What are the Bengals going to do? I could easily see them picking up somebody to fill in the T. Higgins slash Tyler Boyd role. I mean, no one's safe, as we all know already, but I totally agree with that stand.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be tough, but these rookies are exciting. I think it's a better year than most for fantasy. Like I said, lots of quarterbacks, lots of receivers. There's some running backs too.
Right.
Who's a guy that you have that you're higher than consensus on?
Yeah, definitely. Some speaking of running backs, Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, definitely high on my board when it comes to running backs, and definitely going to be circling, making note of which team gets picks him up. He's 21 years old. He's 5'10", 5'11", 210 pounds, super fast 40. Yeah, I mean, yeah, check marks all around. Tennessee had a good year too. I mean, they're great. They had a four-role team. It's not a running back that's he's well known on a SEC team, but still not getting he's getting a lot of love. He's probably a top five running back
He
prospect.
is now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The process, the whole pre-draft process, he's really risen up, but
Right.
it's so brutal when you're not one of those top two or three teams in the SEC. It's like no one cares about you,
Right.
which is weird being in the SEC. But yeah, no, there was no Jalen Wright buzz in season, and then the draft process, and then suddenly a guy like this, it's like, oh wow, yeah, look at his tape. He's doing a lot of like Trey Benson type stuff where
Right.
he shows some vision, he gets to the second level, and then he's gone. Then no one catches him.
Right.
I like that. I like that pick.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not a lot of teams that need a star running back, so it'll be interesting to see where he goes and how they're going to use him, how they're going to use how, what team is yeah, what how they're going to use
Right. No, it's like the Cowboys and the Raiders are
him.
like the two spots where if they took a running back in the second round, it's kind of like a workhorse role. Everywhere else is one of these committees that we're seeing all over the place. Yeah, so for redraft, it's gonna be difficult, but we see rookie running backs contribute every year. Doesn't matter what NFL teams are doing, roster wise, what's the trendy thing to do for the salary cap, whether what you're doing on defense, zone, man coverage. Rookie running backs always contribute, even for redraft, and it's not just the top guys. So I like that call. And who knows, maybe he will be one of the top three guys drafted.
Right. What about you?
Yeah, a running back that I'm a little higher on than consensus is Braylon Allen, the giant adolescent out of Wisconsin. I think he's still 20 years old and
Nice.
he has 3 full years of college production. He went to college a year early, and I don't think it was academic related. I just think high school told him, "You're too big. Get out.
You don't belong
You're hurting the other players."
here.
Even though you're on offense, you're hurting the other players. I think that's what happened there. He went to Wisconsin. I think they tried. He was like, I don't know. I think I'm a lineman or something. And they just gave him the rock one day in practice, and they just told him, see what you can do. And no one could bring him down. And they said, ooh, I think we have something here. So then they just kept giving him the ball over and over again. And it's a little unfortunate because the reason why the consensus doesn't have him in the top three is because his freshman season was so incredible. He kind of took a couple steps back. He stayed healthy for the most part. He had production, double digit touchdowns, but his efficiency went down as his volume increased over the years. So people aren't as satisfied looking at his college career as they might have been. I think expectations were just too high after his freshman year, but I'm kind of buying that sort of post-hype dip. And I mean, obviously, we'll see where his landing spot is, but I think he just has so much room to grow because he's so young. And maybe it's more of a dynasty pick than a redraft pick. We'll see where he ends up. But he's just so young. Certain aspects of his game that people knock him for, like, oh, he's not slippery enough. He doesn't make people miss in space. All he does is run over them. I like running backs who run over defensive players. And he's so young. Maybe he can sort of learn some tricks. He's not going to learn to be 210. He's always going to be 230 plus. So there's some aspects of his game that are just never going to be there. But like, I love a good bruiser running back, right? Like he could be Derrick Henry in a few years. Derrick Henry, not a lot of people remember, but the first few years he just sat behind DeMarco Murray, and
He did, yeah.
he became just an absolute stud. And you don't see Derrick Henry juking out guys. You see Derrick Henry stiff arming guys into the ground or sending them.
That
Come on.
is their
Yeah.
job. Yep.
So I have him in my top three, and I think that's kind of a hot take at this point. I think a lot of people have a different order. There's not a whole lot of consensus when it comes to the running back rankings, but I'm very high on Braylon Allen.
Nice,
Was
nice.
there any other standouts for you in this rookie class before we dive in?
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to the UW Huskies offensive line. I know it's not a dynasty pick. It's not a fantasy football pick per se, but just going to be giving any team that draft any NFL team that drafts one of those guys, just giving them a huge thumbs up. They had a great year, keeping Michael Penix safe. I mean, made it to the national championship as a unit. That is a great unit, and so I'm excited to see those bits and pieces of that unit go into the NFL.
No, it is hard for fantasy football because I mean there's no way to track offensive line stats. It's objectively boring compared to the skill players, unless you just like you some people are out there, they just like live and breathe, offensive line, they just get in the trenches with it. But it's so important. It's where everything starts. If you're a running back, you are dependent on that offensive line. If you are a quarterback, copy paste. If you're a wide receiver, copy paste and then some, right? With the quarterback play, it takes a lot of things to happen before you get the ball. So I think it is fantasy relevant to point out that the Huskies had an incredible offensive line. What does that mean for Michael Penix? If he goes somewhere with a below average offensive line, that has fantasy implications. And for the teams that draft those stud Husky linemen, arrow up for their running back room. So
Arrow up
no.
running back for the future for the quarterback. Chances to make a postseason run, all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And my last name I'm going to throw out here before we move on is going to be Ricky Pearsall, aka Slick Rick, out of
Slick
Florida.
Rick.
He is just so fun to watch. I, as a whitey myself, it's easy to like watch a white wide receiver out there and
Oh,
just
you
like,
love it. You gotta love
oh, you gotta love it.
it.
We all fell in love with that black punter years ago. Was
Oh,
his last
yeah.
name King? Yeah,
King, yeah.
instantly fan favorite, right?
Oh, yeah. Doing his little dances as he's getting a good punt going.
Yeah, no, I just love people seeing people break the mold, and think the thing that I love most about Ricky Pearsall are his hands. He's got top tier hands. He didn't. He actually ran a surprisingly good 40 time. It wasn't the best or anything, but what really blew people away at the combine was his three cone time. The fastest three cone time among all wide receivers in this class. And that immediately reminded me of Cooper Kupp, because Cooper Kupp pulled the same shit. He ran a slow 40, but he blew everyone away with the three cone drill. And though what that tells me, as a receiver at any level, you need to do two things. You need to get open and you need to catch the ball.
Y'all.
When you're running a nine route, you get open via your 40-yard time.
Yes.
When you
Yes.
run any other route, it is dependent on how quickly you get out of your break. When you make that move, can you create a sudden change of speed and direction that creates separation? That is part of what the three cone tests. And I love what Ricky Pearsall did at the combine, and it totally shows up on his film. And I think most people are projecting him to be like a second round pick. That sounds right to me, but I think he has a higher ceiling for fantasy. I think right now on Keep Trade Cut, he's like wide receiver 13 or 14. I have him as my wide receiver like 7 or 8. I'm really high on what he can do at the next level.
Sure. Yeah. That's, I mean, picking guys that, from a dynasty perspective, picking guys that aren't going to go in the first two rounds. And I mean, just taking, as a dynasty owner, taking that edge in the rookie draft to say, this guy's high on my board. He's going to fall in the third, fourth round of a dynasty rookie draft. And there's a chance that I can take, I don't have to pay up to go get somebody that I'm going to enjoy having on my football, having on my dynasty team.
I mean, we'll see where everyone lands, right? But like, if you have a late first and you're going to take a wide receiver, I don't know, maybe move back a few spots, maybe see what you can get.
Right,
And
right.
then take a guy that other people are maybe overlooking. Who's a guy that you're maybe lower than consensus on?
I'm sticking with running backs here. I know I don't
Sure.
know why, but it's just a it's a
Braylon
quick
Allen. No, I'm just kidding.
that would be great. It's a position that matters a lot in the NFL, and it matters a lot in fantasy football dynasty, depending on your league, obviously. But it's weird when it comes draft time. They're not, in my opinion, I don't think they're important, but everywhere else they are. In any other circumstance, they are. And so, one guy that, speaking about the national championship, Blake Corum, I'm down on this guy. He is so I, even when I, even during the college football season, I said, who, what, how is this guy any good? How is this guy working out to be as good and be on this solid of a team?
It's
He's
because he puts his blood, sweat, and tears
oh
into the
gosh,
game. You
get
see
out of here.
every post-game interview, he's got like blood running
Oh,
from
I
his
know.
nose.
Yeah, no,
I'm
there's
kind
a
of with
little,
you, by the way. I am with you.
yeah, there's a little hate for Michigan there, just a little bit, but
Oh,
most
you're an
of
Ohio State
all, I
guy,
am an Ohio
aren't
State
you?
fan. I got the lighthouse on the back. Can't see it that well, but
No, I'm with you though. I'm neither a Michigan guy or a Ohio State guy, but I think he's one of those guys that was just phenomenal in college. He ran behind a phenomenal offensive line, and he's got great vision. He's a jack of all trades. And I think
Yes.
he might have a long NFL career. I just don't see him like just carrying the rock for a
No.
team. He, I
No.
think he's going to be a part of a committee, and we might get to it later, but I think there's a realistic chance he ends up on the Chargers. But like, when
You
you're
could.
down at that goal line, who are you going to hand it off to? A guy like Gus Edwards or
Oh yeah.
a little guy like Blake Corum?
Gus Bus.
Exactly. Yeah, for fantasy football, I'm totally with you.
Yeah,
I don't know that I'm going to
I don't want any
invest a
piece of
first
him.
round pick in Blake Corum, regardless of where he goes.
No, I don't want a piece of him in Dynasty. I don't want a piece of him in Redraft. He could prove me wrong. Totally could
Yeah.
prove me wrong. I don't think he will.
To continue the running back convo, I had one on my list that I'm a little lower than consensus on, and it's only because I don't have him at the top. It's I'm scared to say it, but it's Jonathan Brooks. It's the guy out of
Oh,
Texas.
wow.
He's most people's number one, and
Wow.
he's not my
Yeah.
number one.
Wow.
I think he's there. I think he's I like him. I think he's there at like three or four.
Wow.
But that's suddenly a hot take because everyone else out there has him
Right.
number one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm nervous. I'm nervous about the injury. The old moniker that I think it was Nick Ercolano from BDGE. I heard him say it first. I don't know if he said it first, but he said, "Don't seek out injuries. They'll find you." Like, don't go spend capital on players who are hurt because the players who you have will inevitably get hurt. So you're setting yourself up for failure in that sense. And I think it's a little ridiculous that everyone has him at number one when he's like literally hurt right now. Like the same people who have him at number one are knocking Michael Penix way down in the rankings because he has injuries in the past when he's had like two complete seasons. You know, he's been healthy for 24 months, but people knock him for the injury history. Meanwhile, they have Jonathan Brooks at number one. I don't know. And he only has really 1 year of production.
Yep, I'm seeing that
So
now. Yeah, one.
I know it's great to have running backs with tread on the tires and, you know, like a young breakout age or whatever. I don't know. I just haven't seen enough to put him above guys like Trey Benson.
Yeah, I totally, yeah. 6.1 average carry. That's hard to argue against that.
Yeah, well,
But you're doing
I
it.
mean, what was Blake Corum's yards per carry?
Oh gosh, that's a good question.
Like just these great offensive lines, you know.
Yeah.
Like I think he's talented. He's easily in my top five running backs. He's just not number one.
Sure,
That's
sure.
all I'm saying. And I
Okay,
think,
that's
you know,
fair.
if he goes to the Cowboys,
Oh, that's gonna be
I'll be interested,
Oh,
okay?
that's gonna be juicy. I would
I'll
love
be
to see
interested
that.
if he goes to the Cowboys, just like if any running back goes to the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Blake Corum was 4.8 this year.
Okay. So that's a very fair counterpoint,
Yeah.
but yeah, I don't know. I just maybe it's just the inherent bias that I have against players with 1 year sample sizes, but yeah, I don't know. I like him, just not as much as some other guys.
Blake Corum also had 27 touchdowns last year. That's, bro, he's not gonna see double digit touchdowns for the rest of his career. I'm stamping that right now.
Okay, I like
Yeah.
it. I
Yeah.
like it.
Yep.
Was
Yeah.
there
Okay.
anyone else on your list that you're kind of
No,
fading?
I just had to
Okay.
dog on a Michigan running back just real quick. That's
Sure. No.
single them out.
You do you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had Keon Coleman on my list, but I've seen other outlets, other fantasy football coverage talk about how Keon Coleman's kind of boom bust. Sort of, I'll lump AD Mitchell in there as well.
Oh yeah. Yep.
I don't know. These just big body guys who seem like better athletes than they are wide receivers. I would
Yeah.
just go elsewhere. I would just, I've seen too many great athletes go into the NFL with high draft capital who might not be the best receivers. They might not have the best hands. And if they don't go to the perfect situation, I think they're just off my board totally.
Sure. I totally agree.
What would be, speaking of situations, what would be a great situation that would just make a player skyrocket up your draft board?
That's a great question. I think,
Like we talked about the Cowboys, right? Like if they draft a running back, whoever that
yeah.
is, that player's just gonna just to the moon, and you know, everyone's gonna be in on them. What do you
Right.
think is like if blank happened, then this fantasy player will be on my short list?
Yeah, coming back again, I'm a big component on quarterbacks this year. So it whoever gets drafted to the Raiders, whoever gets if Denver picks up a quarterback, if Minnesota, which they probably will, picks up a quarterback, I'm going to be really focused on looking at that starting caliber quarterback, because at least if, from our example, our dynasty league, quarterbacks have been going, have been selling. I know it's preseason, but quarterbacks have been, the cost is tremendous. And
Yeah, and our league is a 32 team
yes,
league. So
thank you for
quarterbacks
clarifying.
are a premium. I think that applies to super flex leagues too. I know I'm in a 14 team super flex league, and it's the same thing.
Right.
Quarterbacks are just so scarce to find a stability at that position.
So I'm really big on quarterbacks, and where and who's taking them, which
Yeah.
quarterback and where he's going.
You say which quarterback? Do you have you prefer some to others outside of the top, two or three guys?
I think Bo Nix is going as the fifth quarterback drafted in the NFL draft.
Okay.
I think it's really quiet about him. People are a little unsure. Everyone's saying Michael Penix, great value. Michael Penix, great value. Yeah, I'm not arguing that. I think teams are being kind
Yeah.
of quiet about Bo Nix for a reason.
That's interesting. Yeah, kind of the like the off you're reading into the lack of hype
Yes.
in that teams are kind of keeping their cards close to the vest. They actually really like Bo Nix. That's really
Right.
interesting. Yeah. And I see Bo Nix with the high completion percentage and maybe not the rocket arm that Michael Penix has. I see Bo Nix as kind of like a poor man's Drew Brees. Like
Yes.
or maybe like a late stage Drew Brees, like a 38-year-old Drew Brees. That's what Bo Nix looks like, because he will run the offense. He'll go through his reads. He's an adult and he has the accuracy for those short and mid-range throws. And I think it'd be super interesting if he went to the Broncos with Sean Payton, who's worked with Drew Brees for so long. I think that is kind of a match made in heaven. I don't love it for them in terms of value at what pick 11 or 12 or wherever they're at, but if they can like, I don't know if they can move down, if they can wait until the second round or something, I think that's a win all around. But yeah, either way, I mean, draft capital doesn't, well, it does matter for fantasy, but yeah, if that matchup happened, I would be in on Bo Nix for sure.
Yes, I would too. I would too. Yeah, I'm looking at quarterbacks. I already have a starting quarterback in my dynasty league, and I don't care. The price is so they're worth so much. So
Yeah.
yeah, I'm gonna go with that. What about you?
I totally hear you, and I have a quarterback on my list for this question, and I don't know if you've heard of him, Aaron Rodgers. I think
Who?
if the Jets with their first round pick, if they go O-line or if they go Brock Bowers, I'm gonna like kind of throw him in there
Yeah,
too.
I think that's what they'll do. Yeah.
If they go Brock Bowers or if they go offensive line, I think I'm going to be in on Aaron Rodgers. And okay, that wasn't a good I don't just hear me out, okay? The hype was so high going into last year. It was so high, and then it just we've never seen anything like it. The first, what was it, like the second play from scrimmage, the first drop back from scrimmage, he's done for the year.
Fourth
And
play of
because
the
of his
year.
age and because everyone was disappointed, I think everyone's just going to be out on him this year. But all the reasons to like him last year, I think still apply this year. Like it's still Garrett Wilson. It's still Breece Hall. And if they continue to improve, they already made a ton of improvements on that offensive line via free agency. If they add another blue chip player in the draft, or if they add Brock Bowers tight to the end of that offensive line, I think there's a lot to like there. And I think he's kind of a post-hype sleeper for fantasy, especially for redraft, dynasty. Yeah, I get it. He's old, but like, I think that could be super interesting. He could be a value late because everyone's just discounting him because he's old and because he disappointed everyone who took him last year.
The thing about the Jets is that they're the
They're
Jets.
cursed. They're cursed.
They're
That's
the
what you're
Jets.
gonna say.
So
Okay.
all this hype, all I mean, listen to Rich Eisen. I mean, all this hype, everything surrounding them is
Yeah.
can be the best news in the world, and somehow they will find a way to screw it up. They're gonna go Brock. I want them to go Brock Bowers. I have investment in that team from a fantasy perspective, and I still want them to go Brock Bowers. I think it's the best move for them. I don't think they need to necessarily go offensive line. It's not gonna hurt them, obviously, but I don't think they need to. They're still gonna screw it up. I don't know if Robert Saleh is the right head coach. The owner is obviously meddling in things that he shouldn't, and
I mean, like, you
it's
could
hard to.
call it, like, I was tempted to call it superstition, but like, really, all you're doing is just allowing the history to inform your future projection, which is the best any of us can do, really. Just take the data that we've seen and project it forward. I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to zig while everyone else is zagging, and I don't think it'll cost me much in redraft. You
No,
know,
I
like
totally agree.
I'll take two quarterbacks. One of them's a multi-time league MVP, and if it doesn't work out, if he blows his ACL again,
He blows
okay, whatever. It was a ninth round pick. Like, you know,
the
that's kind of my perspective on it.
He blows the other one on the fifth play this year.
That would be insane. I really don't want that to happen. I 'cause
Either,
like as amazing as the content would be surrounding
yeah.
it, I want to see this experiment, what the Jets have put together. Saleh, you know, Hall, Wilson, Rodgers. Like, I want that to all, I want to see what that is. And it's been, you know, over a year now, and we still have, we just don't know. So I just want clarity. I want to see it happen.
Have you noticed that ever since Tom Brady made that move, almost every single team that's had a window has tried to take that window of taking a league, a top-tier quarterback, a league MVP caliber quarterback, and putting them on their team to see if they can go win a Super Bowl. It worked with Tom Brady, worked with Matthew Stafford, and then we thought it was going to work with Russ at Denver. Nope. And now we're hoping it's going to work. You know, maybe it's going to work with Aaron Rodgers. Nope.
I think there used to be this idea of like team chemistry and like, oh, you need to like build continuity over the years and you need to be familiar with the system. And that's kind of out the window. It's kind of like, just go get me the best guy. It's very NBA of the NFL to just add a superstar and expect it to work. And in Tom Brady's case, and like you said, like those other examples, like sometimes it just does. So, you know, people say, oh, maybe not year one, maybe year two. Well, no, year one. It could definitely work. This is effectively year one, except he's had time to kind of learn the playbook, get in the system, all those other cliches.
I do,
Not that
yeah.
he needs that time. He's Aaron Rodgers, but.
True. The Jets do have a good opportunity to try to win that division this year too. Patriots are still in the crapper. Bills just let go of Diggs and basically their entire defensive starting lineup.
Interesting, yeah.
And Miami is
Tons of turnover in Miami.
yeah, tons of turnover, but also what's the word I'm looking for? They're vulnerable. That we've seen in the play, we've seen them in the playoffs, we've seen them throughout the season. They have their highs, and it's really high, and then they have their mid to lows, and those they
Yeah,
it's
what's their ceiling really with what they have right now?
it, yeah. Make the playoffs again, but probably as a wild, you know, probably as a wild card team again.
So we'll do a lot more coverage after the draft when we know all these landing spots, and we'll talk about the implications and what we're excited for. But let's hear some predictions. What do you think, Andy? What do you think we're gonna see? Any bold predictions, hot takes? You can be specific. You can zoom out.
Yeah, I think like I said, I think a big prediction of mine is Bo Nix is going to be the fifth quarterback off the board. That's a really big one of mine.
Round one or round two?
I think we're going to see more quarterbacks get drafted in the first 10 rounds, the first 10 draft picks, excuse me, than I think a lot of people are banking on. That's That's where I'm at with quarterbacks in the and the first round.
I could
So
totally see that.
I wouldn't be surprised if team if a team traded up, even the Broncos, to go from 16 to 11, 16 to 10, or 16
Yeah.
to 4. I who knows,
Interesting.
you know?
I have a prediction that kind of falls in line with what you're saying. And this, I don't, everyone says that the Patriots are going to take a quarterback at three.
No.
I don't think that they like Drake May. And I think if it's Jaden Daniels at two and they're staring at Drake May or the rest of the board, I have a prediction. The Patriots take Marvin Harrison at three, and then they trade back into the end of the first round because they have an early second round pick. So it wouldn't take a whole lot. They just jump into that first round, get that fifth year option for their quarterback, and they take Michael Penix at the end of the first round.
That's juicy.
And
I
then
like
they have
that.
Penix throwing to Marvin Harrison.
Yes, I would love that. I would
That
love
sounds like a dream scenario if I'm a
that.
Patriots fan, and I am not a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
But
That's
man, could you imagine? I mean, we've seen that happen. There's precedent, right? Teddy Bridgewater, Lamar Jackson, these are quarterbacks that were kind of borderline round one, round two, and teams jump into the end of that first round and say, hey, no, this is our guy. We want that first round quarterback contract. We believe in him. We're not willing to, wait overnight to see
Yeah.
what's going to happen with our franchise. I think they're going to, I don't know. I mean, they'll probably take Drake May because how often are you in the top three, really? But I can definitely see that as a realistic scenario. And it totally works with what you're saying with Bo Nix goes early.
Yeah, I like it. It's a bold take. I doubt they go Drake May. I don't think Drake May is worth it at three, but yeah, I doubt they go against the consensus on that one, but I would.
Yeah, I mean the Patriots are one of those teams that just walk to the beat of their own drum, you know.
Yeah,
They're not
exactly.
afraid to take some unknown interior offensive lineman from Slippery Rock, like right,
True.
like they're not watching NFL Network. They don't care what Daniel Jeremiah says. So
No, but no more bills, so we'll see. It's gonna
that's
be
true. Yeah, no, it is a different regime than
right.
we've seen in the past. So yeah, we probably shouldn't put too much weight into that.
Right.
I think we got time for one more each. I'll just throw this out there real quick. Ladd McConkey is going to be a first round pick. He is not the elite number one X receiver, but what he does has never been more valuable in the NFL than it is right now. Teams over the last 3 years, the amount of zone coverage NFL teams have been playing has gone up every year. And no wide receiver in this class is better at beating zone coverage than Ladd McConkey. He just reads the defense. He finds those spots. I heard a comparison made between him and Travis Kelce. Not a physical comparison, but just in that
Wow.
ability to just kind of find the soft spot, turn around, and then suddenly he's there. No one's within 5 yards of him. And so I think that that's valuable, and I think he's a first rounder. What you got for your last prediction?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I have one last one. I don't think it's the hottest burner take on it, but I do believe that zero running backs would be drafted in the first 50 picks. I don't think we're going to see, at least I hope we're not going to see any running backs in the first 50 picks.
That would provide some clarity for rookie drafts. It would just be a massive curveball if a running back went round one.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I've seen mocks with running backs at the beginning of the second round. I mean, there've been drafts in the past that haven't been real running back friendly, but then
Right.
suddenly guys go at the top of round two.
Yeah, and like you kind of said earlier, running backs haven't just I in general, I don't feel like running backs have been getting a lot of love this draft, this rookie class. So,
Right, and almost, I mean, I think all the teams except for the Cowboys and the Raiders addressed it in with this amazing free agency class of running backs.
Right.
But is that an indictment of like Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks? Is that because you're kind of down on those guys, or are you just kind of down on the position?
The position as a whole, definitely. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like I said, I believe the running back market somewhat got reset, but with the free agencies this year, it definitely didn't go back down like it did the year before. But it's still so low.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think my last draft prediction was the Chicago Bears trading down from number nine. They have after I mean they have pick one and pick nine, but after that they have the least amount of draft capital of any team in the league. And they're young, they're trying to rebuild, they're trying to surround Caleb Williams with all this talent. I think they're if I had to bet on one team to trade down, it would be the Bears from pick nine. As great as it would be to add like Rome Odunze or something, like especially if he's off the board by then, they're definitely trading down.
I don't think they need, that's the crazy part is I don't even think they need Rome. They w why you we see what the Seahawks did with JSN. Now I understand that it's a building block, but
They didn't need JSN.
they didn't need JSN. And look how he's being utilized right now. He's not being utilized at all. And so I think the same thing with the Bears at nine. If they go wide receiver there, if they go Romeo, he's just going to sit in the shadow for what, 2 years, 3 years maybe?
I don't know how much longer Keenan Allen's gonna be there, but I think with especially with how deep the wide receiver class is, they can totally afford to trade back.
Exactly. I totally agree.
And then I also think the Seahawks are a prime candidate to trade back.
They are.
There are three teams in the draft that don't have a second round pick. They go from the first round to the third round. That's the Bears, the Seahawks, and the Jets. I don't really see the Jets trading back. They're trying to go all in with
Right.
Aaron Rodgers' timeline, so I don't see them trading back. But I definitely see the Seahawks being a candidate to trade back. They love to trade back, so
Yeah.
that's not a hot take.
It's no more Pete, but yeah, I mean, still John.
Yeah, absolutely. And going the other way, I think the Arizona Cardinals, they're tied for the most draft picks in the whole thing, and they have pick four, and they have a late first round pick thanks to the Texans' surprise playoff run. So I think the Cardinals, they have so much draft picks, and they already have such a young roster. I can see them making move up to get higher up into the first round, try and add some actual blue chip talent.
They need
Yeah, exactly. They don't need 11 rookies.
No.
Yeah, so I think that's all we had for our pre-draft coverage. Thank you so much for listening. If you've made it this far, that's awesome. This is both of our first real chances of creating content, of making a podcast, and we're so happy that you guys listened. I think we're gonna try and do something live for the draft. Maybe at the end of round one, maybe start recording, and you can get some of our live reactions. This has been the Fantasy Flow.
Fantasy Flow. Thank you all.
Yeah, see you guys next time.